Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks is a testimony from a longstanding member of our church, Jay Showalter, and it originally played on Front Porch Talks back on August 23rd, 2011, and we thought it would encourage you to hear it again today. Welcome again to another edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Kerry Willis, and it's a beautiful day where we are. We hope it's beautiful where you are. We're sitting here today with a friend of mine from many years back and right up to the present. We don't always get this opportunity, but today is a real rare moment, and we're just rejoicing. My friend Jay has joined me, Jay Showalter. And Jay, how's your day going, my friend?
It's been a little bit fast-paced, but it's been a good day.
Well, you're smiling, buddy.
I am indeed.
So, and you can close the day with a smile on your face. I think we're all in a good place. Well, we asked Jay to come in. Let me kind of give it a little bit of background. We were at our men's retreat, and we were chatting around a little bit, Grayson and I were, talking about some of the men that we like to get kind of early on into the studio and just hear their testimony. And before I could get the words out of my mouth, Grayson, you had said, let's ask Jay.
And now, about 2 months later, we got him in, but like you said, the timing is perfect.
We believe God's in the timing. We had a few starts that didn't get off the ground. It was that technical bug we were in there for a while, but we got that all worked out. And Jay has been patient and long-suffering, and he's here with us now. So we give praise to God for that. I met Jay Showalter back in about 1980. Wow. That seems like forever, Jay.
It's been a while back. Yes, it was, I think, the early 80s.
Wow. And we came together. I was a little island boy from the coast of North Carolina. And Jay, you grew up here in the valley, didn't you?
I did. I grew up born in Harrisonburg at Rockingham Memorial Hospital. And grew up actually out in the county and attended Broadway High School.
Yeah.
And lived in the area all my life.
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
They are on Broadway, yes.
Not the same Broadway.
Not the same one.
No. Well, Jay, you're about as local as they get. And I think it's going to be a real joy, not only to the local folk who listen to this broadcast today, but also to the global folk around the world. And we already had that chat just a minute ago before we began the session, that maybe you're somewhere in a distant country. You may be discouraged today. Well, you found the right place to tune in, because by the time we have the final prayer, we believe that the Spirit of the living God will have encouraged you with hope. And that's why I asked Jay to come. Jay and I met at church back in 1980. He was already here and a part of what was going on. Jay, why don't you tell us a little bit about those early days when you met Christ?
All right. In the early time, it was back in 1979. I was actually going through a pretty difficult time in my life, and I worked at the same employer that I work for today, Truck Enterprises. And one of my bosses there was Lloyd Meadows. He was very active in the Nazarene Church over in Roosevelt, Ohio.
Yes.
And he invited me to church, and I put it off and put it off. One Sunday morning, I decided, well, I'm going to give this a try. So I went in, and he was as surprised to see me as I was to be there. And I would have to say that nothing's been the same since that day.
Wow. Just the amazing influence of one person who took interest in you. Tell us a little bit about how that felt.
Well, he became a really true friend. And I saw him as a boss, but I also saw him as a friend. He became one of my best friends.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that he took that kind of interest, he and his family, actually, his wife and his children, and then ultimately the pastor there. And they were going through a pastoral change at the time, but a lot of the folks there that I have the greatest respect for, took me under wing and helped me through the process of getting to know Christ better and drawing closer. And it was a great experience. And to be honest with you, that's the only church I've attended. This is the only church I've attended since I walked through those doors that day. And I've visited a few churches here and there, but not for any reason other than someone asked me to come and hear a speaker or a musical group or something like that. But the Nazarene Church is where I am and where I've always been, where I intend to stay.
Well, I remember the slogan back in those days, Jay, of the Church of the Nazarene. It said, the Church of the Nazarene can be your home.
That's right.
You kind of took that literal, didn't you?
I did. I did indeed. And from 1979 till today, still here.
Now, Jay, you have to get in a certain situation to realize that you know the Lord. We don't need a whole lot of specifics, but you said you were going through a dark time there, and I guess some things were dragging you in the wrong direction, and there's always a fight for the souls of men. What are maybe some of the areas that you would want to share with us that maybe God came in and brought some light and darkness, brought hope in seemingly hopeless situations? What has God done for you?
Well, I had a lot of things going on in my life, most of which were negative. I was not necessarily brought up in the church. I attended church from time to time. But, I was a bit of a scoundrel.
Weren't we all?
I drank a bit and used tobacco and kind of ran around and got with a crowd that did all the same things that I was doing. And it just got me in trouble, not with the law, but got me in trouble, emotionally.
Yes.
Got me in trouble in a lot of other ways, but I found the need to try to turn things around. And without the Lord in my life, I wouldn't be here today. I'm convinced of that.
Wow! So He really did rescue you.
Oh, absolutely! When I walked through the doors of the Nazarene Church the first time, there was a spirit there that I understood, but I didn't understand.
Wow!
I'd been in church enough to know, and some of my relatives were part of a Pentecostal church,
yes,
and I had attended there. So I understood, but I had never really sensed what I felt when I walked through that door. And it took hold of me, and it's been kind of uphill since then.
Amen.
Uphill in a good way.
Yeah, you're headed toward the light. I love that, the uphill climb, no doubt whatsoever. Jay, do you have any scripture, that maybe is special to your heart or just anything that you want to share with us today? I believe God has put this whole thing together, and there might be somebody today saying, I just need to hear a good word from the Lord. Is there maybe a scripture that either has spoke to you throughout your life or maybe it's speaking to you today or maybe both?
Well, there are a couple of scriptures. First of all, I think Zechariah 4:6. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
And that says to me that if we're going to be successful in our walk with the Lord, it's going to be because of who He is, not because of who we are and His spirit within us. The other would be Psalm 39. And for the folks who are listening, I hope you'll take the opportunity to read Psalm 39.
Amen.
Because that pretty much speaks to my life, all of 39 and the beginning of chapter 40. And once you read that, it kind of tells you where I was and that the Lord did, in fact, come and lift me out of the miry clay and help me on my walk.
He brought me out.
Brought me out, indeed.
That's a great passage. Makes me want to go read it now. I'm going to find that right after this broadcast. No doubt whatsoever. Well, Jay, what's going on in your life these days? Or is there anything throughout your life that God has done that you want to share? I mean, I just want to leave it open. We don't have an agenda here. You were talking early about coming in the church and sensing the Spirit there. It's like the Spirit showed up to meet you that day.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I know it today that Lloyd and his family, and I'm sure others in the church, have been praying for me. Lloyd knowing exactly what I was going through. I will share an experience, two experiences with you. One, I had been asking the Lord to, or saying to the Lord, I want to quit smoking cigarettes. And I know a lot of folks struggle with that, struggle with that.
It can get a hold on you.
Absolutely. And the alcohol as well. And, one's as bad as the other in a lot of ways. I mean, it really takes your health downhill and creates a lot of problems for you.
Can be very destructive and controlling.
And I was just asking the Lord to take that away. And I was getting ready to come to church one morning, and it was absolutely miraculous. I just sensed a moving of the Spirit, and I had in my heart said, "Lord, you know I want to stop this." Well, after that moment, I never touched another cigarette, never desired one. About 3 weeks later, I went to visit some folks in Texas, and they had shared a glass of wine with me, and I tasted the wine, and it tasted so bitter, and I pushed it aside and never touched another drink. So those are miraculous happenings in my life, and I know the Lord, it was only the Lord, and
for
He
sure.
knew my heart.
And, well, Psalm 37, verse 4 is going through my mind. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I mean, you told the Lord, I want to be done with these things. You weren't talking about somebody else's life. You're talking about your own life.
Absolutely.
You knew what those substances had done to your life. And you just came to Him and said, "Lord, you know, deliver me from this."
And I think to this day there are folks who knew me back then that, you know, wonder when they see me maybe up front at church or something, and they might wonder, that's not the same Jay Showalter I knew back then. And
that's
exactly
good.
Right. They're exactly right.
Hey,
not the same Jay Showalter.
Grayson, I know you've watched Jay's life ever since you were about 5 or 6 years old, and you're 24 now. There's some things you want to speak to Jay or just say some things to him. Just lean right in here to the mic and say whatever, ask whatever's on your heart there, buddy.
Well, like Dad said, about 17 years or so that I've known you, and I didn't know you before you knew Christ, but based on what you've shared so far, it sounds like God's done a real miracle in your life. Not just freeing you from the bond that cigarettes and alcohol had over you, but also totally in every area. It sounds like God's done a real transformation in your life.
Oh, absolutely, Grayson. There's no question about it.
Yes.
Without God in my life, I can't imagine where I'd be today.
Well, we're glad you're here. And when you were talking about people who knew the old Jay, you know, I was thinking about Romans where it says the old man must be crucified, you know. And what a witness when people that maybe only knew J.D. and they come in to church and see you as part of the heart of who we are here. And they have to pretty quickly say, "Wow, God must really be real." We used to sing a little song in Vacation Bible School when I was a kid. It went something like, "Oh, do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes." So I think that when people see our lives so transformed, God has to get all the glory, right?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. We can't do it on our own, as Zechariah 4:6 says.
Yeah, give us that scripture again.
Zechariah 4:6. "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts."
Wow. I think of Pentecost when I hear that. Jesus knew that we needed the Holy Spirit in his fullness, because if not, we were not going to have a chance for victory. But he gave us every opportunity when he poured out his spirit into our hearts. And it's amazing. Jay, I as a local pastor, I mean, you're my friend and brother, but, you know, I happen to be a local pastor in a local church, and you know, every once in a while, we get what we call churchmen. They're a little fewer and far between than they used to be. My dad, a real churchman, I got to watch that growing up. And I know many times people tried to get him to do other things. And he wasn't against them doing whatever they wanted to do. But he just sort of felt like that it, for him, it would be akin to just abandoning his family. And I just want to thank you for the way that you've, I mean, I'm sure there have been times you could have said, "Well, enough already," and the cycle was this or that. But tell us a little bit about a commitment. I mean, you're seems important in your life. What is that about? Not exactly, but just generally. Tell us a little bit how you feel about commitment, and why are you that way?
Well, you've said lots of times longevity.
Yes.
Is very important in our lives. I've been at the same job over 40 years.
Yeah.
I've been at the same church since 1979 and married to the same woman since 1983.
And I was there.
And you were there as a photographer. And your wife, your lovely wife, as a bridesmaid.
She sure was.
So we do have a connection. But I think like most things, if you're going to be committed to it, then you have to be involved with it. You have to give more than just a minor amount of yourself or a small amount of yourself.
Yeah.
You have to give because I think when you give like that, you get something back.
Yes.
You always get back, and you get back more than you put in. Tithing, for instance.
Yeah.
The first thing we do when we get a paycheck is we write our tithe checks. That's the very first thing we do. And,
it's
God's tithe and our offering. So we give the tithe and our offering above that. To be involved in ministry, currently I'm working with the shepherding ministry.
Yes.
And to stand that gap for the pastors that need a day off from time to time. Mm-hmm. And so I want to do that, and I feel good about doing that. And the time that I shared or served on the church board or other ministries and the finance committee or as I think the first building chairman, we were looking at this project
exactly.
out here.
Exactly.
All of those things, and there's no end to it unless you put an end to it.
Yeah, when I hear you talking and see you live your life, I'm reminded of a beautiful word that it seems we don't know as much about as we ought to these days, covenant. You know, it comes from making a covenant with the Lord, but we also make covenant with one another. And there's something beautiful about the longevity of covenant. And I often say longevity is the great convincer. And people like you help me to believe that that is true. So I'm so grateful. I know that when we had a pretty big building project we had to go through here, which may be when that scripture from Zechariah began to really lasso your heart, because I remember Jay was our chairman of our lordship emphasis, and he and his wife Pam, and they walked alongside me as the local pastor, and God really just did things that were so much bigger than us. You know, the idea that one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000, but it was that commitment, you know, covenant with the Lord, and then a covenant with each other. And when I look at you, Jay, I also kind of know the definition of friend, you know, how to be a friend. And, you know, people call me, it's kind of funny, they probably wouldn't know unless I told it on this broadcast, but I have a little nickname, PK, and it stands for Pastor Kerry, and sometimes it's pastor's kid or preacher's kid in some places. But early on, you know, my friend Jay, who's also my brother, and I had to be his pastor, he said, I need to call you something that feels right. And he came up with PK. And I tell you, when I really thank God all the time for that, all the signing I have to do. I just sign PK with a little heart, and I think of you a lot of times, Jay. So you've been a real friend, and I just thank you so much for loving the Lord, for loving your family, and for loving the local church. And I think that your life is going to be a great witness to the other young men, young fathers, young husbands that are coming up, you know, through the ranks right now. And I'm just glad for your faithfulness. And I pray that God will truly give you that Psalm 37:4, that as you delight in him, he will continue to give you the desires of your heart. And I pray that over Pam and Jason and Sarah and everybody else that's connected with your circle of beloved ones. Jay, before we close here, is there something that you just want to share? I don't know if I don't want to leave anything unsaid. We could probably talk for 5 or 6 hours like we do when we drive down to the coast for the men's retreat. We're never done talking. But why don't you just, anything you'd like to close with, and then Grayson has asked in advance if he could pray a blessing over you at the end of this broadcast. So you take your time, any time, short or long, and just share with us what's left on your heart for now.
Okay, the one thing that I think I'd want to say is that my friends are now the church family. And back in the days when I made a change in my life, a lot of the folks who spent time with me and around me pretty much abandoned me, but that's okay, because the new group that I became associated with became the folks that I would tend to go to if I ever had a need, folks that I could pray with, folks who knew some of the circumstances I've been through, and our trips to Ocracoke Island, and I'm one of a few that's been on every trip with you, and I'm pleased
yes.
that I've been able to do that.
I'm glad you said that. That's 17 straight years.
17 years, and that's a long haul down there, but it's a great
ride.
That
in itself is a testimony of commitment and longevity.
Absolutely. But I would encourage anyone to take that trip, to be a part of that, and I think you'll connect with folks that you never imagined you would. But also, just be faithful in the church. Attend services and be active where you can. And involve your family, and you'll be the better for it.
Well, your life says that, Jay. And, you know, some people don't realize that you can be a light in the community, but that don't mean you can't be a light in the local church at the same time.
That's right.
You know, we struggle with omnipresence. We can't be all places at the same time. So I believe, and partly because I've watched you live it, Jay, that the local church... the Lord has sustained the local church over the years. I mean, he could have let it go whenever he wanted, but he has sustained the local church. And while we believe in the kingdom of God, and we know the church at large is really the bride of Christ, make no doubt about it that Jay Showalter, Carrie Willis, and Grayson Willis in this room today, we believe that the local church is the place where we come to know Christ and to know others. And it makes us effective in the world.
Without a doubt. And I just want to say that I appreciate you allowing me this time to come and to be part of your Front Porch Talk. And I look forward to what the Lord has in store for us for the days ahead.
Well, thanks for coming, sitting in our virtual rocking chair. And as the summer breezes blow across our face, Grayson is going to pray to that same Holy Spirit that you were talking about in the name of Jesus. And... Grayson, you go right ahead, my buddy, and share whatever the Lord places on your heart. We're going to agree with you in prayer.
Thanks again for coming, Jay, and we really enjoyed talking with you and for you sharing your testimony and what God's done in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jay's life and the impact that he's had on this church. Lord, we thank you for bringing him to this local church in 1979, about 32 years ago, and for the change that this church has had in his life and that you've had in his life through this church, Lord. And in turn, I believe he's had a huge impact on this church as much as it's had on him, Lord.
Amen.
And we just thank you for his testimony and his leadership in this church in many different areas in the 32 years that he's been here, Lord, and the continued things that you're using him for, Lord. And we thank you. It's been such a blessing to us as a church body and to me and Dad, Lord. And we just pray that you continue to work in his life, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Love you, friend. Love you, brother.
Thank you.
Our brother Jay has left the studio now, and I felt compelled to go to Psalm 30 and 40 and to read those verses Jay referenced as being very dear to his heart. I read them aloud here in the studio a few moments ago after the recording, and I sensed that we should just have this read aloud. And so Grayson is recording, and I want you to listen to the verses that Jay was telling us about. Psalm 39, verses 1 through Psalm 40, verse 3. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. But when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me, and as I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, Show me, O Lord, my life's end, and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Selah. Man is mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent. I would not open my mouth, for you are the one who has done this. Remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blow of your hand. You rebuke and discipline men for their sin. You consume their wealth like a moth, each man is but a breath. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Be not deaf to my weeping, for I dwell with you as an alien, a stranger, as all my fathers were. Look away from me that I may rejoice again before I depart and am no more. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
In the voice of a whisper, I heard him call my name. Here at the altar, I'll forgive your sins and shame. I stepped out of my comfort zone and I walked to the front of the church. Knelt at the altar, I'm so tired of pain and hurt, and I cried, Jesus, as my knees hit the floor. I'm tired of the life I chose. I can't take it anymore. Forgive me, Jesus. I'm finished with my past. Come into my life today, and I'll be yours at last. Forgive me, Jesus, as our knees hit the floor. I'm tired of the life I chose. I can't take it anymore. Forgive me, Jesus. I'm finished with my past. Come into my life today, and I'll be yours at last. Forgive me, Jesus. I'm finished with my past. Come into my life today, Lord, and I'll be yours at last. Forgive me, Jesus.